taken from the text Amos chapter 7 verses 10 to 17. As we studied this text, we thought we probably could have changed the title to Confrontation with Amaziah. At any rate, our text says, "Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet. But I was a herdsman and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Your wife shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by survey line. You shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Ungodly people do not like to hear the word of God, no matter how authentic they know it to be. Resistance and opposition is the way of sinners with the word of God. The house of Jeroboam in our text is the house of Jeroboam II. He was the son, he was the descendant of Jehu, whom Elijah had appointed king over Israel. And Jehu is the one who ordered the death of Jezebel, and he is the one who killed all of the worshippers of Baal in Israel. But Jehu's reform was not complete, because he still followed the sin of Jeroboam the first. Jeroboam, the first Jeroboam, was the son of Nebat. And the son of Nebat is the one who established the false worship system in the northern kingdom to keep the people from going back to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this Jeroboam the second was the third king after Jehu, and incidentally, he had the longest reign of any king in the northern kingdom. He reigned for 41 years. Now, reading the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, we discover that all of the kings of Israel were apostate, every one of them. All of them followed the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Jeroboam II was no exception. Their sin was false worship. God took Israel out of Egypt, and through Moses, he commanded them to guard against idolatry and false worship, because it was these sins that caused God to cast the people out of the land and give it to Israel. And what happened is, shortly after Israel occupied the land, they too became idolaters, worshipers of a false god in a false worship system. Now, Moses sternly warned God's people about falling into this kind of apostasy. They knew the Word of God, they had the Word of God, but they ignored it. Amos is being attacked by a false priest, Amaziah. Now, this Amaziah was not of the sons of Levi, nor was he of the sons of Aaron. But when Jeroboam II set up the false worship system and built the false gods at Dan and Bethel, he appointed priests of all of the people. Anyone who wanted to be a priest, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, appointed them priests. So this Amaziah was a false priest over a false worship system, and he didn't want to hear the word of God as spoken by Amos the prophet. Now, this was nothing new, because Isaiah and Jeremiah, who came after Amos, experienced the same thing. I want to share with you Isaiah 30, verses 9 to 11. Now, this is God speaking to the prophet Isaiah, telling him what to write. And he says, "Now go, write it before on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever. If you write it on a scroll, it may perish, but if you inscribe it on a tablet of stone, it will stay for a long, long time." Verse 9, "That this is a rebellious people, lying children, who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" This was the attitude of the people when Isaiah prophesied to them. And Jeremiah, who God called before he was born, before he was conceived, God called him to be a prophet. And he told him to go and prophesy to the people, and don't be afraid of their faces, because I've got your back. But the people hated Jeremiah because he prophesied the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 to 23, this is what we read. "Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, 'Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more.' But, O Lord, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, 'Do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand.' Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment." The people refused to hear. The prophets were sent by God to proclaim God's word to them, calling them back to the covenant that Moses had given them. The covenant of salvation, the covenant of redemption. Turn back to the Lord. Repent. Repent of your sins and your evil doing and your evil thoughts. And turn to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy. Beloved, we are told to hear the word of the Lord. And the New Testament tells us not only to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it, because if we are hearers of the word and not doers, we are self-deceived. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the revelation to the churches. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, seven times we have the Lord telling John to tell the churches, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." He says this to the church at Ephesus, the loveless church. He says this to the church at Smyrna, the persecuted church. To the church at Pergamos was a compromising church. The church at Thyatira was a corrupt church. The church at Sardis was a dead church. The church at Philadelphia was faithful. The church at Laodicea was lukewarm. But he says to each one of these churches, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." What is the Spirit saying to the churches this morning through this dialogue between Amos and Amaziah? Amaziah was a priest of Bethel. Bethel means house of God. But it was a false worship system. And he was a false priest. And he became concerned, deeply concerned, about the preaching of Amos, because Amos was preaching in the land against the sins of the people and against this idolatrous worship system. And Amaziah knew that if Amos continued to preach and the people continued to listen to him, he was going to lose his job. So he's concerned about this. And he says now to his messenger, "Go to King Jeroboam and tell King Jeroboam that Amos has conspired against the land and against you." Well, as a king, you had better do something about this fellow, because his preaching is so strong, the land can't stand it. The people can't stand what this man is putting down. And you as king, you had better do something about this. He has committed treason against you. And treason is a capital offense. He could have been killed for that. His preaching from day to day is so strong, the land can no longer hear his words. He is telling the people, "You, O king, will die by the sword." That was a lie. That wasn't true. Amos hadn't said that Jeroboam was going to die by the sword. That's what Amaziah said. But what happens, people, when ungodly people start to attack Christians, they lie. They don't tell the truth. I remember the people on West 1 Avenue who were fighting against Mount Carmel Church lied to the city. They said that we were disturbing the neighborhood. And the truth of the matter is that from our chapel on West 1 Avenue was so insulated until in the driveway of the house you couldn't hear what was going on in the chapel. But they lied. This is what people do. He is also saying that the people will be led away captive out of their own land. King Jeroboam, you better do something about this man. This man is making things bad for me and for all of the people in the northern kingdom. The King Jeroboam, you better do something quickly. Now, interestingly, when we look at the text, we don't see anything in here to indicate that Jeroboam answered him. Because Jeroboam probably knew that the people recognized Amos as a prophet. And the people had respect for the prophets. So Jeroboam didn't answer Amaziah. Amos doesn't say anything about that. Then Amaziah turns and speaks directly to the prophet. He says to the prophet, "Get yourself out of here. You have conspired against the king. Get yourself out of here, because if you don't get yourself out of here, you may get killed." In other words, Amos is being threatened by Amaziah. His life is on the line. He's saying, you better get out of here, and you better get out of here quick. Now, Amaziah put forth four propositions to Amos. The first one is, go, you seer, flee to Judah. Amos was probably from Judah. Amaziah knew that. And he's telling Amos, you better go back to Judah. I want you to go back to Judah, but get out of here. Go back to Judah and eat bread and live comfortably there and prophesy there. Now, what Amaziah is saying here is, I recognize that you are a prophet. You are a seer. So go and see in Judah. Go and prophesy in Judah, but don't prophesy here anymore. Never prophesy at Bethel. We don't want to hear what you have to say. In referring to Amos as a seer, the prophet had condemned himself because he recognized that this man was a man of God. He recognized that this man was preaching and calling the people to repentance, and this is what God had told him to do. So you see, sinners condemn themselves. The man condemned himself by recognizing and honoring the office that this man had. Then the people if the people were persuaded that Amos was right, Amaziah was out of a job. Because then the people would start to go back to Jerusalem and worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, Bethel is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. So his fourth point here was that this king is appointed by God, and here you come, supposed to be a man of God, preaching against the king, saying that he's going to be killed, and all of that. So don't prophesy here. This is the king's sanctuary, and the king lives here. So go on back to Judah and prophesy down there. Get out of here. We don't want to hear it. Amos is not moved by these threats. Men of God who are ordained to preach the word of God must be confident in the power of God. God can protect me no matter what you say about me if I'm doing his work. If I'm in his will, I don't have to worry about the ungodly. I really don't have to worry about the ungodly, because all that the ungodly can do to me is kill my body. What does the Bible say? Don't fear him who can kill the body, but there's nothing else he can do. But I tell you who to fear. You fear him who can kill the body and consign your soul to hell. Now, beloved, those of us who preach and teach are going to have to face the judgment. And we're going to have to face the judgment based on what we do. It is my propriety to feed you from the Word of God. And I know that some of the things that I say to this congregation from the Word of God, people in the congregation don't like it, don't want to hear it. I know that. I know that. But I praise God that I haven't been threatened directly. Amos wasn't moved by these threats of Amaziah. He was willing to stand on the strength of God. And beloved, those of us who preach must stand on the strength of God. We know that in and of ourselves we don't have it. We know that. Those of us who are really on the Lord's side, we know that if anything good comes from this pulpit, it's because the Spirit of God is using me to do it. Otherwise, nothing good is going to come. We know that. Amos knew that. But Amaziah didn't. Obviously, he didn't know it. Now, what happened in our text here, after Amaziah sent this messenger to Jeroboam, lying on Amos, and one of the things that is very helpful in studying the Bible is to consider things in their context. Before Amaziah sent the message to Jeroboam about Amos, Amos had prayed for the nation. He prayed for the nation, including the king and this crooked Amaziah. But you see, the ungodly don't appreciate the things that the godly do. When you witness to someone, you are telling them how to escape eternal punishment through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't appreciate it. And they may cast you down. They may say some awful things about you. They may call you a fanatic. Well, that's okay. That's a fan. It's good to be a fan of Jesus. Amen. After Amaziah goes through all of this, Amos tells him who he is. He says to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet." You see, God takes people sometimes from the earth to speak to people of the earth in language that they can understand. Now, there are some fellows who go to seminary and come out of seminary and they think that their propriety in the pulpit is to wax eloquent. Well, you can act wax eloquent in the pulpit and nobody knows what you're talking about. But, he said it real good. I don't know what he was saying, but it really did sound good. Well, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, "I would rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." And when you wax eloquent and you use language that people are not accustomed to and it goes over their head, you're not doing them any good at all. So what Amos is saying here, "I was no prophet, neither was I trained in the schools of the prophets. But I was a herdsman. God called me from following the sheep. And I was a tender of sycamore fruit. The Lord took me from that occupation and told me to come up here and preach. And I'm doing what the Lord told me to do." Now, you say, go prophesy to somebody else. But the Lord told me to come up here and prophesy to Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Because you say, don't prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac, therefore, thus saith the Lord, your wife is going to be a harlot in the city. This judgment that Amos puts on Amaziah had to be heart-rending to him. It had to be. Although he didn't fear God, although he was a false priest, he was conducting a false worship system, deceiving people and deluding people into thinking that they were doing something that was worthwhile religiously. Let me tell you something, folks. Religion will not get you into heaven. Amen. Amaziah was religious. They had a whole religious worship system, but it was a false system. It was a system that was not based on the Word of God. We read Jesus' dialogue with the woman by the well. Jesus told the woman by the well, those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we do that? That's the question. How do we do that? Beloved, the only way that we can accomplish what Jesus said to the woman by the well, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, is to worship Him according to the Word of truth. The Bible is given by inspiration of the Spirit of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's given by the Spirit of God. And Jesus in the high priestly prayer said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So now if we're going to worship God, we have to worship God according to the Bible. And here, Amos tells Amaziah, your beloved, your wife, is going to be a prostitute. Because you are saying to me, don't prophesy, because you are saying to me, I don't want to hear the word of God. Then he says to him, your sons and your daughters are going to be killed by the sword. Mercy. You know, we love our children. We love our children. We don't want anything bad to happen to our children, and we do everything that we can do to protect them. But here, because this man told God's prophet, don't prophesy here, we don't want to hear it, a part of his judgment was your sons and your daughters are going to be killed by the sword. Not only your sons, but your sons and your daughters. And in addition to this, your land is going to be given to your enemies. Now, I don't believe that this is talking about the land of Israel. I think he was talking about the land that Amaziah owned. But God's word is much deeper than it meets than we see on the surface. So it was probably both of them. Your land, Amaziah, is not going to be yours anymore. It's going to be your enemies. And this land that God has given you, that he promised to Abraham, is going to be taken away also because of the apostasy and the false worship system and the idolatry of these people in this land. Not only that, Israel, you, Amaziah, will die in a defiled land. You're not going to last here. You may have a little authority in Bethel. You may have direct access to the king. You can tell the king lies on me, but you're going to go into a defiled land, and there you're going to die. So first of all, your wife is going to be a prostitute. Your children are going to die by the sword. You are going to die in a defiled land, and your land is going to be given to your enemies. Because you say to me, don't prophesy, don't tell me what God had to say. Beloved, we need to study the Bible. We really need to study the Bible. And I've said from this pulpit before, you can't really know the God who is from the New Testament. You got to get into the Old Testament.
Amen.
To find out who God is and what God's judgments are and what God's attitudes are toward the violation of his covenant stipulation. There isn't anything in the New Testament that tells you what God's attitude is toward disobedient children. Nothing. You want to find out? You get into the Old Testament. And God says, if a child is disobedient to his parents, if a child is a drunkard, if a child is no good, if a child is not doing what his parents tell him to do, they should take him to the city gate, and the elders of the city pass judgment on him, and he is to be stoned. What is God's attitude for taking his name in vain? See, we don't get this from the New Testament. We get this from the Old Testament. When God brought Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, a man went out who was a half-breed, and he strove with an Israelite man, and he cursed. And they heard him curse. And they went to Moses and said, Moses, what should we do? And Moses said, well, put him in water, and I'll see what the Lord says. They put him in water overnight. You know what the Lord said about that? Because he had used God's name in vain. Stone him. You don't get that from the New Testament. Now we have people who use the name of Jesus Christ as a byword, as a curse word. We have people who use God's name in vain, cursing. What is the penalty? What is God's attitude toward that? Death. Death. Don't get that. What did Amos do here? I mean, what did Amaziah do here? Amaziah simply said to the prophet, don't prophesy. What was God's attitude toward that? Your wife is going to be a prostitute. Your sons and your daughters are going to be killed by the sword. You're going to die in a defiled land, and your land is going to be given to your enemies. What did he do? He rejected the word of the prophet. Israel shall surely be led away captive. Here's an example of the harsh judgment of a merciful and righteous and loving God toward someone who did not want to hear his word. We don't get this from the New Testament. You get this from studying the Old Testament. This is the prophet of God who testified to Amaziah, I was no prophet nor the son of a prophet. I was a farmer and a sheep herder. And God told me to come up here and prophesy. And you're telling me, don't prophesy here. Go on back to Judah. And eat bread in Judah. And prophesy in Judah. They might hear you, and they might respect you, and they might listen to you, but we're not going to listen to you. We don't want to hear you. Beloved, I want to remind you this morning again that sin pollutes the land. We have an organization in America called the American Civil Liberties Union. The American Civil Liberties Union is saying women have a right to kill their unborn children. And we don't want to hear what you preachers have to say about it. We don't want the Ten Commandments in any public place. We don't want to hear it. That's God's word. We don't want to see it. Get it out of here. In America. See? Our jails are crowded to the point where we have to build new jails because people don't want to hear the word of God. Democracy will not work without the fear of God. I'm preaching on that next week, Lord willing. Nobody wants to hear it. People in the public don't want to hear it. All of the big corporations and the companies in America are telling all of the Christians in those companies, we don't want you proselytizing on the job. We don't want you witnessing on the job. We don't want you saying anything about God, the God of the Bible, and Jesus Christ on the job. What was Amaziah saying to people? Don't prophesy. Don't tell us about the Lord. We don't want to hear about it. Don't say anything to anybody on the job about the Lord. If you're a Christian, keep it to yourself. What was the judgment of Almighty God against Amaziah for telling Amos not to prophesy? Sin pollutes the land, and corrupt worship is serious sin. My last point. I have people telling me almost every week that they can't find a Christ-centered, Bible-based church. Why? Because people don't want to hear the Word of God. That's why. It's hard to find a church that is Christ-centered and Bible-based today. Because people don't want to hear it. They're doing the same thing that Amaziah did to Amos. Don't be bringing that sin and damnation and God's judgment in here. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear about what God did to the people when Israel occupied the promised land. God said, go in there and kill everybody. We don't want to hear that because God is merciful. We don't want to hear John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. We don't want to hear that because God could not be so harsh as to send all of those people to hell. We don't want to hear it. Beloved, that's happening in the church today. We need to thank God for the prophecy of Amos. And I thank God for giving me the privilege of preaching it. I thank God for you who have come to hear. And I pray that you will be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, that you may come to know that the word of God is serious, because it has an eternal impact on your soul. And your soul is more important than anything else. So don't tell the preacher, don't preach those hard sermons. If the sermon is biblical, you ought to thank God that he's preaching it in your hearing. Amen. Our Father and our God, we do pray that none of us would adopt an attitude such as Amaziah had toward Amos, but that we might thank you and that we might rejoice when we hear your word preached, and we might pray that you would give us the grace to be fruitful doers of the word, not just hearers of it only. And Father, I pray for this congregation here this morning that it might be pleasing in your sight to give grace to those who have committed their lives to Christ to walk uprightly before you from day to day. And if there are those among us who are not committed to Christ, I pray that you would give them grace that they might believe and commit their lives to Jesus unto the salvation of their souls before it's too late. Hear this prayer, Lord, for I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.